Isn't it great to be a Christian?
Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We know that's Jesus, right? And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And together we would say, Amen. That's what Paul says, Ephesians 3:20-21. That's always a great encouragement to us. You know, there are a lot of things, a lot of little sayings that we get in life, and I know that we are in troublesome times today. There are just so many things going on that probably have all of us concerned, and there's a lot of things out there that just sort of scare us. You may have heard this before, but if you haven't, it'll be good for you. And if you have, just to remind you of it, I think is really important. Everything that you needed to know, if it applies to you, everything you needed to know, you learned in kindergarten. I can say that because I went to kindergarten. Do we have any kindergarten goers here? Were you in kindergarten? Nobody in this whole place. Well, there's a few who went, but they were ashamed to go. Kindergarten. The first thing I learned was share. I found out that other people wanted to play the same thing I did. And they weren't always real kind about it, and sometimes neither was I. Then I found out we had to play fair. That kind of ruined the fun. Because they said, don't hit people. That's a good rule, isn't it? Don't hit folks. Then they told me to put things back where I got them. Huh? We don't just leave them on the floor. No, put them back where you got them. Clean up your own mess. If you spilt that milk, they brought you a little towel and taught you to clean it up. That was a great thing to learn. Then I was told I wasn't supposed to take anything that wasn't mine. Learn to say I'm sorry when you hurt someone. How about this? This sort of fits in with our day. We were all told to go wash before we came in to eat. Anybody remember that? I'm going to say this one sort of softly. We were told flush. I found out at an early age that warm cookies and milk were good for you. You don't want to do that all day long, but I mean, they're good. And I remember that lesson, stop, look, and listen. First time I realized that was up on a railroad crossing, I said, hey, that's what my teacher told me. Stop, look, and listen. And when you go out in the world, well, we all went out in the world and we held hands. You ever go in one of them little lines like that? Isn't it neat to watch those kids going across the road or going into the schoolyard somewhere and they're all holding their hands? What a wonderful idea. And then I know this will encourage some of these folks in this crowd. I can look at you and tell we were told to take a nap. And you're all thinking about it right now and don't even think that way. Yeah, take a nap. And this is the lesson that I never really got, Joe. I'm still struggling with it. They told me, said, if you don't know, Bobby, ask. Some of you will get that one day. Our culture is just sort of in an evil place, isn't it? Things in the world, things in our country are just happening all around us. And you might be asking yourself why, but I think we all know why. The real reason why is that the family structure in our country has been extremely weakened over the years. And that leads me to want to present to you, and I promise, so you can be at your favorite restaurant place, I'm going to give you a brief lesson about being a man of courage, men of courage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, we have the words of the Apostle Paul. This is the NIV version, and I like all of the other versions because they use good words, but I like this one. Kind of fits with what I wanted to say today. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything with love. Be courageous. If you're reading it in a NAS version, the NASB version, you're going to see these words of be alert, standing firm in the faith. And then instead of that be courageous, it says act like men. That's probably not politically correct today. Since there is a tremendous, tremendous wave that wants to make all of us the same. But God didn't make us the same. He gives us the same benefits, but He made them male and female. And there are differences, if you haven't noticed that yet. So there's a lot of confusion today in our world about the idea of gender roles. My sermon's not about that, okay? We could preach about that, but I'm not going to. I want to point out a couple of passages to you, men. First of all, about being alert or being on your guard. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, we're told that if a city was going to be threatened, that they were to assign a man, a person, to stand on the wall and be the watchman. Listen to the words in Ezekiel 33 in the first six verses. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land and the people of the land, choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land, he blows the trumpet and blows the trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not heed the warning, and the sword comes and takes their life, their blood will be on their own head. Since they heard the sound of the trumpet but did not heed the warning, their blood will be on their own head. If they had heeded the warning, they would have saved themselves. The writer goes on here and he says, but if the watchman sees the sword coming, and he does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and he takes someone's life, that person's life will be taken because of their sin, but I hold the watchman accountable for their blood. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? That the watchman would have some kind of responsibility. Now, I'm not trying to equate a warlike move like this is about, and that's what it's talking about when the enemy would come. But I am trying to equate to you, and what I hope you'll see, is that as leaders in our home, as men in our families, God is expecting us to blow the trumpet. He's expecting us to see when the enemy comes. He's expecting us to help our families to understand that there are dangers, that there's a responsibility. Be on your guard. In John chapter 5, we have the words of Jesus here. At verse 19, they were asking him different questions, and Jesus gave them this particular answer to one of those questions. He says, very truly I tell you that the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now, this is, of course, in context to our spiritual life. This is, of course, in context to Jesus coming into the world to save us. But I'm going to say to all of us, especially us fathers, our families see the things we do. It's one thing to say something, and it's another thing to see that you do it yourself. And I'm just going to point out that I think the Scripture is trying to help us to see that if we're going to be put in a place of some kind of responsibility here, that we need to take on that responsibility and fulfill it. I think that we suffer in our country, as well as even in the church, from the lack of male leadership, especially spiritual leadership. Men who know the Word of God and who would know the truth of God and would not feel embarrassed about sharing that truth with his family. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but it's been less than 200 years since we had the practice of Sunday school. All of the time before that, when gatherings were made, there was no Sunday school. You see, the training of children and the training of the family went on every day. Any time you had the opportunity to do that very thing. That's the idea that we want to be, that it would be high time for all of us today to recognize that we ought to be in service to our family. That's the thing that we want to try to stress to you today. I want to encourage you as a Christian father to be the kind of father who is putting your family first and taking your leadership role in a serious way. I think the kind of person that, or man, if you will here, father, that Paul had in mind, he says that he should be firm in the faith. That's the idea. And we have a passage here that is written over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and you can read it there at verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants. He's talking about growing up spiritually here. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine or teaching and by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful kind of scheming. Standing, see, firm in the faith. God is looking for people who will study and stand firm in the things that are taught. And you're not going to get that done with a half-hearted effort. You don't learn to put the ball in the hole, do you, Doug, unless you practice a little bit at trying to get it in the hole. That's why they say practice makes what? Well, you know the answer to that one. You have to keep doing it. Now, Rosemary and I had four children because we didn't want five. In fact, we really only wanted three in one period, and we had four. So we took it. Now, the Lord blessed us with that. I'm not just joking about that, but the whole idea was that you can feel pretty sorry for that first one. I remember the first one, as when I picked that baby up, I mean, it was gentle. And you can always tell a woman has more than one child. You know what I'm talking about? Because when she picks that one up, she goes, come here. She found out that that arm doesn't come off. You know, she's had that experience. And we move that way because we learn from having been in the family. And you have to make some kind of an effort. The Bible says, and I think that Paul's saying, not only is he stand firm in the faith, but he's supposed to be a stronger person. To be strong is the ideal. I couldn't help but think about these early Christians and think about some of the things they went through. And in Acts, the fourth chapter, we read this. You may read over this kind of thing and not really pick up what's taking place. But when the apostles and all the disciples are preaching there in Jerusalem and therefore taking the gospel, it says in this particular time they were thrust into prison. They called them in again. They commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Here were men who were strong and able to stand up against someone telling them not to do what God had told them to do. I'm trying to pass that along to us. And this doesn't just apply to us as fathers or men. It applies to being a Christian. Be strong in what you believe. And don't be afraid to say, "I'm going to obey God rather than what everybody else wants me to do." Later on in chapter 5, verses 40, 41, and 42, his speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in, and they beat them, flogged them, NIV says. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Didn't we just read that they had already ordered them not to speak? Isn't that right? Folks, we got that kind of thing going on in our country, trying to intimidate us about not telling people who we are and standing up for what we believe in. They were ordered not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go, and the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name, that they had been faithful to Jesus. That's the kind of person, that's the kind of father we need. Is one who is courageous, one who wants to be the kind of man that God wants him to be, to share that faith and to be strong in his belief, in his family, so his family can see that very thing. Now, I don't mind telling you that sometimes we have a little problem with that whole idea. I don't want to void the very next point, but I want to say to you is that it's time for us to be unafraid and to speak up about who we are. That we are lovers of Christ. We believe in him. We believe in his principles. And we intend to preach him to those who have not heard. That may not be the political way of doing it today, but I want to say I think God wants us to be strong in that fashion, and he wants us to be strong in our role in regard to our leadership. You can launch your own campaign. You know, I think if you're in the book of Ephesians and you turn to chapter 6, I don't think you have this scripture back there, Wayne, so don't worry about that. I threw this in here. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And doesn't that sound right? children obeying parents, and parents bringing their children up in nurture and in love. We want to do it all in a loving way. When John is writing, he tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." That's a privilege. And that is what we are. And the reason the world does not know us is because they don't know Him. If you're watching TV, you're going to see all kinds of signs out there, and there's going to be some that are just people who are proud they're going off to hell, and they're waving them around. And I saw another sign that simply said, if Jesus comes again, kill Him. Yes, that's how bold they're getting. They don't know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What a great promise. I know we all want to know what we're going to look like. We all want to know what it's like up there. But just know this, we're going to be like Jesus. And that's what He wants us to be while we're here. Love, you see, puts the needs of others ahead of ourselves. That's why, husbands are told to love their wives, just like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's the kind of encouragement that we give. When you love, you give yourself up. I think that's what Jack was trying to tell us about our giving. When we love God, we give ourselves up to Him because we love Him. We know He loves us. So let me encourage you with that. Love makes all of this a great reality. I hope you'll be encouraged with that. I hope you'll remember that. And I hope that today, as you are with your family and enjoying them and just enjoying either the accolades or the praises that you are a father and your children and your wife and others are making, be a man and accept it. And say thank you. It's all because of Him. Isn't that right? Because we love God. I hope you have a great day.